That's true.
You have the stem cells on different trees. Don't they have to do some further matching with a specific person to see if that will work?
Right. Yeah, but what they would do is they would take it from you. So again, they could take.
Like my cell, that would take some match before they.
Well, they could take your cells and try to devolve them back into a pluripotent state.
It sounds to me like you have sort of a generic stem cell, embryonic cell, undifferentiated, that you can put into somebody's body and hope it'll go to the heart. That's what you mean.
No, it has to be from that person.
Oh.
Yeah.
So then what do they do with all of this bank of embryonic cells?
Yeah.
Well, right now what they're just trying to do is just trying to grow them and do research. They're just
they're
trying.
They're not using them for any of the cures that they claim they.
Well, they've tried, but again, the bodies keep rejecting them. Not always, but I'm sure they've had some success with it.
They didn't have success with adult stem cells.
Right.
That's the success they talk about.
Right.
But they don't come out and say, they just say stem cells, and most people assume, oh. But it's not that.
Yeah, the adult stem cells, that's what I was talking about, taking a regular cell that is differentiated and devolving it back to an undifferentiated state, back to a pluripotent or multipotent state. And then, and like I said, that's the one that's been more successful, and that's the one that we're not funding.
That's the one they don't fund.
So
the embryonic stem cell is just figuring out what embryonic stem cells do.
Right. At this point, we're still just researching for the sake of research, you know. We're still trying to figure out what they can do, how they can work.
So when they are taking, like, they might or swap from my teeth and then taking part of my cell and putting it in with someone else's, the rest of that cell matter just gets destroyed, right? And that was human white.
Right. Well, right, yeah. And that's part of the problem, too, is, again, there's no life in a technical sense. There's no life in a sperm or an egg by itself. I mean, they're live cells, but, I mean, there's no human life. You don't have human life until they come together and are fertilized. And similarly, there's no human soul in a single skin cell. You know, your soul is your whole body, you know. And if I cut off your arm, I haven't cut off part of your soul. You still have the entirety of your soul, you know. But yeah, when they do that, they just discard the rest of it. Now, another approach that has been talked about but is also still kind of morally questionable is what happens if we take an embryo right after conception, allow it to grow for those 5 days, and then instead of destroying it and taking out all of its stem cells, what if we take out like just one or two and then still allow it to grow? Could that be okay? And moral theologians have debated that, because some people would say, well, sure, that would be okay because you're not killing the person. But then the issue becomes, science is not advanced enough to know exactly how many stem cells your body is going to need to turn into your body. I mean, however many cells it has at day five, you know, X number of cells that it has at day five, you know, X minus two might not be a problem, you know, but we don't know. Well, you know, X minus five might be, X minus two might not be. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know at what point you're taking more cells than, I mean, at what point are you going to kill the person? Obviously, if you take out all of their cells, you've killed them. But the point is, well, you know, some of those cells are going to turn into the umbilical cord, which is going to get cut off and thrown away anyways. Some of those cells are going to turn into the placenta. Some of the cells are going to turn into other things that aren't part of the human being, and therefore, couldn't we take some of those cells? Well, maybe, but again, you're still using that person as a means. And human beings can never be used as a means, you know. Yeah.
So I just want to know, it's possible to clone something.
Yes, Greg, it is possible to clone.
Why?
They did it with Dolly.
Yeah.
They did it with a sheep.
And
yeah. Yeah. In fact, what they did with Dolly, if I'm not mistaken, was they took cheek cells, they took one of her own eggs, they took out one of her own eggs, they sucked out the nucleus of that egg, which just has the 20 chromosomes. They took the 43 chromosomes from a different one of her cells, put it into the egg, shocked it, implanted it back into her uterus. It grew into it was a new sheep, and she gave birth to this new sheep, which was genetically identical to her.
She gave birth to her clone.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know. Did they implant it back in her, or did they grow it? I can't remember. Well, I can't remember if they actually implanted it back in her uterus and she gave birth to it, or if they grew it in an artificial womb and it was born that way. But yes, they had a live sheep. I mean, at the end of the day, they had a live sheep. And this is the weird thing, is people think, oh, well, they can do it with a sheep. They can't do it with a human being. That a sheep is a pretty advanced, I mean, we're not talking about a little bacteria that we've cloned. We're talking about, like, an advanced mammal, you know. And if you can do it with a sheep, you can do it with a human being, you know. And again, this was over 10 years ago that they cloned Dolly.
I think they did it with the cow already also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in theory, I can have like 100 clones exactly like me.
Right.
How?
I don't think anyone can exactly like me.
Well, from a theological point of view, I mean, they would have different souls. It's not like it's your soul now is in that other person. Although this is
this is
another interesting thing too that they've kind of discovered, and this is what's kind of really weird. Is remember I talked about the cytoplast? Yes. We had to learn all these words in my last year of seminary, and I have to admit I don't remember a lot of them. I studied my notes before I give this talk. But one of the things they've discovered, and this is kind of interesting, is even when you take a cell and you suck out its nucleus and you put in a new nucleus into the cytoplast, there's actually other stuff in that cytoplast that can infect or cause a little bit of a differentiation. So even though it's not part of the 46 chromosomes, there are other things floating around in the cytoplast that would not be you. You know what I mean? So like you are the product of your dad's sperm and your mom's egg, but if we take one of your skin cells and put it into a random woman's egg, yes, it would be genetically identical to you, but whatever random woman had in her cytoplast is kind of also part of you too. Because even though your 46 genes would be the same, it's not your mom's egg, it's some other woman's egg, you know. And so there's going to be that little bit of a difference. So you're not, I mean, that's one of the weird things they've kind of discovered, is even when they do this, there's still a little bit of an infection, you know. So
it's identical to what?
As far as I know, I cannot say that I've actually heard of that happening. I'm sure they've tried. They have to have tried. But, I mean, in theory, that would work because your body wouldn't reject it, because your body would recognize it as being the same.
We do creatures from animal, non-human organ transplants to humans.
Right.
Effectively.
Right.
There must be research going on about animal embryonic stem cell research, if that's the right terminology.
Right.
It would be just as useful and not killing the soul because there's nothing involved there.
Right.
That's just like giving an answer.
Again, I have not heard of that particular research going on, but I imagine, you're right, that would be. But again, no one likes the idea. I mean, it makes sense, but remember the big deal when they started making insulin from pigs? Like, oh my God, you're going to put that in your body and it was made from a pig? And Yeah, but so I would agree. It sounds like it's the kind of thing that has got to be going on. But again, I can't say for sure that yes.
It has to be a non-controversial.
Right.
You would probably get more people marching against that than you would have been.
Yeah.
Because they'll march about the whales and the seals, and then they'll go to the abortion.
Yeah, don't kill the baby whales for their stem cells. But kill as many baby humans as you want for their stem cells. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Your logic is flawless, but I don't think that would work.
This is a weird thought. And it would come out with like a pink.
Wow. Oh, terrible. Any other real questions? The church's position is that there's nothing immoral about it. If I take one of your skin cells and am somehow able to coerce or reprogram it or devolve it into becoming, instead of a differentiated skin cell or hair cell or muscle cell or whatever, and getting it to turn back into a multipotent or even pluripotent state, no, there's nothing wrong with that. That is genuine, authentic scientific research, and full steam ahead, you know, full speed ahead. But it's when you start introducing new life and then destroying it, creating new life and destroying it, or like I said before, using a human being as a means to an end.
So if you did this devolution thing, you could sound like him. Maybe you thought about
that could be, but I get new young skin. Maybe. And again, the church is all about you know, alleviating suffering and pain and helping people. Again, we've been doing it better than anyone else for 2,000 years. I guess why I was so frustrated after Ronald Reagan died. I remember Nancy Reagan came out and made that statement, and I thought, just idiot, shut your mouth. Like, you know, you're not thinking clearly here. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, you know. And anyway, that was my own frustration with Nancy Reagan. But yeah, because a lot of people have a sense of, you know, a lot of people take this approach that it's okay to kill someone if I can cure lots of people, and that's utilitarianism at the end of the day. That's utilitarianism. So.
Would they say, well, you can kill me as long as you promise that you're going to kill so many people? Like, I don't think many people would say that they would be killed.
Right. No, we're not talking about you saying, please kill me.
No, I know. But
we're talking about embryos who can't speak.
But they're saying, well, it's okay to kill them if it saves a lot of people, but they won't.
Right. Well, one of the things that they do to justify that position is they'll say, like, well, it's not actually a human being. And they'll try saying stuff that we've heard before in the abortion argument. They'll say, well, it's a bunch of cells. It's not a human being. We're not killing. We're you know, it's just a few cells. So even if you want to try to claim to be religious, say, you know what, I'm a practicing Catholic, I believe killing is wrong, I just don't think it's killing, because I don't think there's a human being there, because I don't think there's a soul there, because I don't think it's the person. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who argue that. In fact, that's probably the people we have to argue with the most, because you're right. If you get someone to agree that, yes, this is a human person with the same dignity as the rest of us, even though this person happens to only be one cell big, it's a zygote, I don't think anyone would say, well, not I shouldn't say that, because there are some philosophers who do say this, but Most people would agree that you can't kill people. The issue is it a person? Because if you can make a case that it's not a person, well, then you can kill it because you're just killing a few cells. You're not killing a human being. So the issue that I think we have to fight against the most is making it clear that it's not just a few cells. Yes, under a microscope it's a few cells, but there's a human soul there. Yeah. There's something very weird about that.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Again, there's something very utilitarian.
But the thing of it is, they did not kill the
right, right. No, they didn't. But
they
still...
hoped.
Right. You know the case?
Mm-hmm. They hoped that other child that they were going to have would be a mess. And when it turned out to be a mess, everything worked out right.
Well, I mean, prostitutes aren't killed, but prostitution is still wrong. I mean, you're still using that person. Yeah. Now, it's one thing, and it's a very laudable thing, for you to be able to, with your own free will, say, I would like to be a donor. You know, I have a matching whatever, and you can have one of my kidneys, you can have my blood, you can... That's one thing, and that's wonderful, and that's a very laudable thing. But when you conceive a child for that sake, I mean, that's utilitarianism. That's the definition of utilitarianism.
But they also do it on the other end of the scale, for like brain dead people. They're saying, well, there's a healthy heart, a lung, and a kidney standing there.
Right.
This person just don't have no brain, and sometimes they withhold things.
Right.
To let them
and we talked about that a little bit, I think, at the last class on end-of-life issues, that, you know, death cannot be hastened for that purpose. Again, it's a wonderful, laudable thing if you say, look, once I die, you may have my healthy organs. You know, if I'm dying of cancer, you know, you can have the rest of my body that's not cancerous. That's wonderful, but so long as the death isn't being hastened for that purpose, and in fact this is this is why two different doctors are required, in terms of one doctor being the one to make the decision and to pull the plug and to declare the person dead, versus another doctor to come in and harvest the organs. I even hate that word, to harvest organs. It just sounds that's the phrase they use. But just so there's not a conflict of interest, because again, like the example of the Children's Cancer Hospital, you could say, well, all of these people are going to die. Like they're all, even if you were to look at a particular person and say, she will be dead in a week. Okay, but right now, you know, on Thursday, we need a this or a that for this other person. She's going to be dead in a week, so why not just take her out now, grab her liver, grab her heart, grab whatever. I mean, that's the kind of logic that people are using. And they don't think about it that way, but that's the logic they're using. Well, she's going to die eventually, so let's just take her out now, put her out of her misery, you know. Or, again, in the case of end-of-life issues, oh, he's just a vegetable. Well, no, he's not just a vegetable. He's a human being with the same dignity as you. Yes, Greg Porter. Greg's trying to like clone vegetables now. And yeah, you can clone vegetables too, did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
So I can get the same exact cucumber.
Yeah. Did you know? Did you guys hear when they did genetically modified strawberries and they had actually used like catfish DNA? They actually did a survey of people. I don't know if this is... They were able to use catfish DNA. I don't know why they picked catfish, but they were able to use catfish DNA to genetically enhance strawberries, like to make them more plump and stuff. And it was funny because they actually did a survey of people, And it was something like 75% of the people surveyed actually feared that the strawberries would taste like fish and didn't want to eat them, which they're not. I've had catfish engineered strawberries, and they're quite good. They don't taste like fish. But yeah, you can. Yeah.
There is something fishy about the
strawberries. Yeah, there is something fishy about the strawberries. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Who was particularly infamous for... Anyways, go ahead, yes. You raised your hand, and you were about to ask something. About cloning cucumbers. No, you said something about cucumbers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like being a vegetable.
I was just sort of comment that I think that phrase is hilarious. Oh, he's a vegetable.
Actually, have you heard that joke? There's a real, I'll tell you this joke real quick. There was a joke about Mr. and Mrs. Oh, sorry, Karen. Mr. and Mrs. Tomato. Mr. and Mrs. Tomato are on a Sunday drive down the street, and they're in a horrible car accident. And Mrs. Tomato is fine, but Mr. Tomato is rushed to the hospital, and Mr. Tomato falls, Mrs. Tomato, you know, follows suit, gets a ride to the hospital, and she arrives at the hospital, and the doctor comes out and meets Mrs. Tomato and says, well, I have good news and I have bad news. She says, what is it? He says, well, your husband, Mr. Tomato, will live, but he will be a vegetable for the rest of his life. Isn't that good? I knew Greg could like it. Yeah, actually, tomatoes aren't vegetables, actually. They're fruits, technically. Just replace
them. That's a
better
joke.
That has other moral implications, Bob. Okay, any other questions, comments, concerns? Yes.